Right, if you get married, you get kids. This is Danielle, a little one, 4 months old. They just asked us to share a little bit about the life group that we facilitate. It's called Staying in Love, and so it's about just various aspects of marriage that's foundational and really forms the basis for sort of a seemingly sound relationship. I won't impose that we work on it the whole time. We also did the course. Okay, we're married now for 5 years. We did the course with Andre and Sonika twice. Before we got married, and then just six months into the marriage. And the course has changed a lot already, but I think what we got from it was there were really foundational aspects that it was like building blocks that were laid in our marriage. For example, there's one thing we did where that's for us been repeatedly coming up concerning not expecting anything, but desiring, So it's about having a sort of a contract with your wife versus having a relationship with your wife. Yeah, so that's been quite a foundational aspect or definition in our marriage that came up, in years to come quite a few times. Then the other thing that I thought we can mention is just the aspect of, and it also came up this morning, of being tough on yourself and tender on your partner, that we got from one of the books that we're working through, called The First 5 Years of Marriage. But we had to stop now because we married longer than 5 years. But there's a message in there that says, your own intentions. So you know where you come from. So your actions are sort of inspired by your intentions. And if your actions don't sort of match up, then your intentions are honorable, but your wife doesn't know that. So to always be tough on yourself rather and tend on your partner. That's just another foundational thing that we learned throughout. Also central in the course that we... The life group that we present is the issue of unity. Many of the topics, if it's about finances, if it's about in-laws, if it's about this thing of desires versus expectations, or whatever, it's in the end, it's about you as a couple, the unity, and that unity is a very, just to take it back to the spiritual. One thing that we also try to link is the link between a husband and a wife coming together, and Christ and the bride of Christ, so with husband and wife and the unity of a husband and wife being a picture of Christ and his beloved bride, and that's such a powerful aspect that we can remind ourselves of as husband and wife, is that we are actually not just, as Sonika said earlier, we are a picture of Christ. And that changes everything. Then it's not about happiness. Then it's actually about being a witness on earth. And this week we were talking about submission, or last week we spoke of submission, which is a massive issue in the world where feminism is a big topic, and where, like Sonika also said, the respect of masculinity, of manhood, is it's a contentious issue. And so Rizalda mentioned just this one thing, that how can the world know how people should submit to God? Because, the Bible says submit to God. It's pretty clear. God knows the way. We don't. His ways are higher than our ways. How can we submit to God? And so she said, a woman has the honor of modeling submission to the world by the way that she submits to her husband. I just sat there. I was, this woman is amazing. Yeah, so that thing of marriage modeling something, you know, of being a picture of Christ, or of, you know, God and man, it's just incredible. And we try to bring that over in the life group. So the course changed recently from a sort of a video curriculum-based course where we watched a lot of DVDs to being more sort of teaching and interactive. Are we talking too much in the course? Not too much. Okay, they're doing the course with us now, Luan and Petri. They are 1 month married.
Almost.
Yeah. So the course changed, focusing a lot more on what did God intend for marriage to be. So previously we looked at, you know, like Mark Gunga, what's that, Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, very funny and all, but we're taking it back to the foundational parts. What did God intend marriage to be? So we look at the picture of marriage on earth, you know, so the importance of it on as being a witness of Christ and the bride. Those kind of sort of deeper issues in a way. But then we'll also bring it back to the practical side of the role of the husband, the role of the wife, and then also one thing that we're very excited about is making a house a home, which is a beautiful concept, you know, like fighting for time around the kitchen table instead of time in front of the TV. You know, those kind of principles. Because that home is a building block of society. And if that home is not in place, then society is not healthy. Yeah, so that's just a little bit about our life group. We are currently full, and we're also halfway already, so it's probably too late to join, except in emergency. But so the course is there. It's if we don't run it, somebody else will definitely run it. So in future, if you're interested, then stay in touch. Yeah? Good. Do you want to say something?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's give them a hand. Well done. They are such a blessing because of their heart for marriage and just running with it. It's really... really special. So dankie vir julle, hoor. But the church is the we. You know, if you join us tomorrow for church, you'll hear a bit more. But the church is the moral voice for this world. If we don't speak, if we don't take a stand, if we don't address the issues, you know, it's amazing how the world gets everything the wrong way around. It really is amazing. The Bible says, give a hiding. The world says, no, you're going to kill the child. You know, I spoke about that on past Sunday. You know, and it's just everything is the wrong way around. And we see the effect on society. So it's such a privilege for us as the church. It's so exciting, actually, that we have the truth in the scriptures. And we have God to help us to implement it and to live it. And so we want to help you guys. I learn the best when I actually teach it. So when I go through these things, it just stirs in my heart again a passion for our marriage and for our family and for me to focus on that. And it's worth it. It's really worth it. Who wants a good marriage? I'm gonna say no, I don't want just a good marriage, I want a great marriage. Why settle for average? Why settle for it's okay? I believe God wants us to, each of us, to have a great marriage, a beautiful marriage, and that our stories, our testimonies would inspire people. That is God's heart. And that is what God, that's His speciality. He comes and touches our hearts. He comes and enables us to love one another. I can't do it. I get distracted. But God helps me, and He helps me to make lifestyle changes. And so over the years, I've made lifestyle changes in terms of getting into the habit of loving my wife, practically speaking. I'm not where I'm. There's lots to go still, lots to grow still. But It's really good. Okay, so I'm gonna speak to the guys now. Okay, so the ladies have had their challenging message, and now I will be sharing with the guys. I'm preaching to myself as well. And okay, let me just pray, and then we're gonna get into it. Father, we thank you. Thank you that you love us so much. Thank you, Lord God, that we realize we need your help. We need your help to keep the flame still burning and burning strongly, that passion, that pursuit as husbands to our wives, God, to keep on pursuing them, to keep on loving them. So, Father, we pray, God, that you'll come and minister to us. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd confirm to us the one or two or three things that we can change and make it a lifestyle change. So, Lord, we welcome you here. And we thank you that you bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, at a couples conference, the speaker mentioned that couples are so disconnected that 85% of husbands don't know their wife's favorite flower. So, Chris turned to his wife and whispered, "This more self-raising, nay." Self-raising flower. So, but it is a good idea to know what your wife really likes. My wife likes red roses more than anything else, but I try to mix it up a bit with some others as well. So, what's a perfect marriage? What's a perfect marriage? Put it on the slide there. A perfect marriage is just two imperfect people who refuse to give up on each other. A perfect marriage is just two imperfect people who refuse to give up on one another. So I want to say to you this morning, don't give up. Don't lose hope. Don't give up on your partner. Don't give up on yourself. Guys, we can become better husbands. We can take it to the next level. We can live in that space where we, where our wives don't just have to try and believe that we are great, but they really know that we are special and blessed and good husbands. Okay, so I want to touch on the energizing cycle. How do we as husbands help our wives? So it's his love motivates her respect. Okay, so when we actively love our wives in a way that they understand, it motivates them to respect us. Okay, so the challenge is each one in the relationship. Ladies, you are responsible for your side. Respect. Husbands, we are responsible for our side to love unconditionally. That's our responsibility. Each one is responsible for his side. Okay, so you're not allowed to point finger at the other one. Like, no, you're not respecting. That's her business. Your job is to love, okay? So as we love tangibly, then we motivate and encourage. And it really is worth it. It really is worth it because it brings that passion back into the relationship. Even as Sonika shared, you know, when a relationship sort of stagnates, even the physical intimacy, it's not that great because it's both parties aren't into it. You know, but when I love my wife, starting at the breakfast table and a little thing here or a SMS there or small things that brings passion into the relationship. Okay, so that's that continuous loving on our wives. So wives want connectivity. They want to make the relationship work. Okay, so wives want connectivity. They want to connect with us. I often said this, but Sonika in the past would say she wants to find out what's happening on the inside of me. It's like she wants to climb on the, she wants to climb in me. If she could, she would have. But she wants to know what's happening. What's happening in your head? What's happening in your heart? She wants to know. She wants to connect on a relational, emotional level. And so obviously it's generalizations, but that's normally how it works. You know, as we go around and we speak to people and we go to different churches, it's just really sad for me how many marriages are battling. And often even many pastors and leaders whose marriages are battling. It's upsetting, in a sense, you know, to speak to people and just it's not going well. It's just they have designed their lives in a way that it's catering to disconnect. They've designed, it's like the way they work, the way they operate, it's designed to miss one another. And so we need to actively work at positioning ourselves where we can connect with one another. So for Sonic and me, it's actually working very well. It cost us a few rand for her to let a big paying salary to let that thing go. But it's worth it for us now to work together, to have less money, but to have quality of life. I mean, we are richer than ever as people, as a family. You know, so even just when it comes to finances, you need to decide, is it worth it? You know, I have people that I know, the wife is working so much. For instance, she's a doctor. The one I'm thinking of is like a doctor. So she's working like crazy, like they're almost never together because she's just always working. Now I'm thinking, is it worth it? It's not worth it. Change it. Change whatever you need to change, but make sure you have time together. It's not worth going on like and you're never together, never connecting. Even if you are traveling, you can still connect. You can phone, you can WhatsApp. There are ways, but to work at, even if you are traveling, to connect with one another. So when I go away or travel, then, you know, Sonic and I, when it's possible, but I mean, we phone. Even if I went to India, you know, I would phone and we'd chat and we'd WhatsApp and we'd do pictures. So it's like we're still connecting. Even though I'm away, you know? So you can make it work. You can still connect. There are many different ways of doing it. So women in general confront to connect. This can feel controlling to a man. And that's why I said earlier, you need to believe that she's good-willed. She is good-willed, okay? The cry of the woman is, love me, although it might come over in different and interesting ways. Okay? It's like it can really get colorful. And it's like, you know, you as men, you know, we in our little world, and you're busy with your something, and then it's suddenly like, whoa, what's going on with you? You know, it's like, we're on two different, it's like she's upset, or something is not right, or, you know. And where's the book? The Love and Respect book. Maybe just something else. We have shared this at some previous times, that you can buy this online. It's called Dare to Share. You can go to daretoshare.co.za or daretoshare.com. It's South African, it's in Afrikaans or in English. You can order it. It's about 300 Rand. And it's little cards that you can discuss. So for instance, this is what my wife does. This, she takes a few and it travels along in the handbag. And when we are at a restaurant or a coffee shop or anything, then it makes its appearance. Then like, okay, let's do a card. Then it helps discussions. It actually facilitates discussion because sometimes, especially because we're working together, we don't want to talk just about church the whole time. We want to talk about other things, and it actually leads you through things. For instance, this card is number 116. We are now at card 116. And this one is actually about temptation. How do you handle temptation as a couple? How do you deal with it? It really is good. So it covers different things, in-laws and this and that. And it just keeps you talking. Okay, so it's Dare to Share. And I dare you to buy it. Because again, it's lifestyle. We do our Friday mornings as our date morning. And we almost every Friday go somewhere to a coffee shop, or we do coffee at home or whatever. But we chat. So every week we catch up and we connect. We were speaking to a couple a while ago, and they were battling. They have two kids, and they were battling. They were not connecting. They were not. And so we were chatting to them, and we said, and they also pastors, and I told them, we told them, well, just do this. For instance, you take off on Fridays, but instead of having the whole day with your kids, put your kids in school as the other 4 days of the week, and you have FaceTime, the two of you, just the two of you alone without the kids. And they were like, I could see it in their eyes. They didn't believe me. They didn't believe me. But then they started to do it. And about a month later, they testified that it's really transformed their marriage because now they have FaceTime without the kids. So if you have kids, it's not FaceTime, spending time with the kids. So you as husband and wife need alone time, FaceTime, discussing and chatting and preferably every week. So do you have a date night every week? Okay, let me ask you that again. Do you have a date night every week? If you have, raise your hand. Let's see, where are the winners? Where are the winners? We have one. We have two. Yes. Come on. Wow. That one thing can transform your marriage. You see, because we have face-to-face time every week, it's impossible for our marriage to unravel. It's impossible because every week we're going to have a time like, oh, we need to sort something out, you know? So you need to try, even if it's just a coffee, go somewhere, have a coffee somewhere, but make that non-negotiable time, FaceTime, and invest in the relationship. Okay, dare to have a weekly romantic time together. Come on. Right. I'm going to read this to you. Page 97 from the book. It's about a husband who never stopped loving. It says here, we are still together today because for the past few months, the husband has done exactly what you talked about at your conference concerning his love regardless of her respect. Okay, so guys, this is our challenge, to love despite. You see, when a marriage is in a very bad space, then you might have no feedback from your wife. You might have no reciprocal love or respect. He says, yeah, he loved me when I was not lovable at all and held onto our marriage and his family when there was absolutely nothing to hold onto. This past October, I asked him to please leave the house. I wanted to be alone. I wanted space, and I just felt like I didn't love him anymore. Reluctantly, he left for a couple of weeks. I knew that my life and the life of the girls would drastically change with a divorce. I thought about the shared visitation and how we would also have to sell our home, which we recently finished remodeling. But I didn't care. I just wanted out. So this lady wasn't a good space. Meanwhile, he prayed, studied marriage books and tapes, and made a decision to love me no matter what. How's that for amazing? To love no matter what. We are so fickle when it comes to love. I've found this with myself in the past. I like react. Yo, how dare she speak to me like that, or that tone of voice, or whatever. Then I'm klim op my perkie and ek ry 'n bietjie rond. I'm like an upset and I stonewall. I want to talk to her, and now I'm almost like a punisher. And I'm not going to talk to you. And then I realized, you know, it's like when I would now go and now I want to go pray or read Bible or whatever, then I immediately I get convicted. It's like I hear like the voice of God say, why are you acting like a child? What about unconditional love? What about loving your wife even when she didn't speak to you in a godly way or respectful way? Or maybe it is that time of the month, or maybe she's just having a bad day. Maybe she's experiencing pressure, you know, but the challenge me says over and over, how much do you truly love? Okay, so we must love no matter what, as this guy did. And it says the girls were really starting to miss him not being around. So we decided he would return home until further notice. Well, he would hold my hand every night and pray for me and for our marriage. As I stared up at the ceiling, anxiously waiting for him to finish. So she was not into it. He would leave little notes or a little flower on the bathroom mirror or in my car. So many little things he would do to show me that he loved me and wasn't going to let this marriage end easily. She says, it just irritated me. I thought, can't he understand that I don't love him? that I don't want to be with him anymore. Why is he trying so hard? I didn't feel that high in love feeling for him anymore. My needs weren't being met, so I wanted out. Very selfish and immature. I was emotionally going through something that neither of us really understood, but he stayed there and loved me through it. I'll spare you all the little extra details, but I eventually broke. No woman in her right mind could let go of that much love and commitment. I'm going to read that again. No woman in her right mind could let go of that much love and commitment. You see, God has called us to love despite where our partner is at, despite going through a midlife crisis, despite being in bad space, despite backsliding or being far from God, despite, to love despite, as this guy did. And she says, now I'm very much in love with my husband. I've learned that love is not a feeling, it's a choice, a commitment. We didn't become a statistic because my husband chose to love me no matter what my reaction toward him would be. It's really humbling to look back and see how loving and patient he was with me. Trust me, it wasn't easy. And how he, only through the strength of Christ, saved our marriage. I can't say we're completely out of the tunnel yet, but we are certainly very close. Isn't that beautiful? Now, we call to love despite. And for me, that story is just so inspiring. Why wait till it falls apart and then start waking up? You know? And it's a lie to say that over time love disappears or you can't have that passion anymore. That's a lie. Just remove the distractions, remove the hardness of the heart, and you will experience that passion again. Okay, so I want to encourage you to allow God. I mean, we have beautiful testimony. It was a couple here in church. The lady came to see me and see us, and she was in very bad space. She said she never loved her husband, didn't want to be with him, and they have two kids, and been married for quite a few years, and she wants out. I mean, she wants to move out. She wants to go find her own flat. She wants to go find herself. It's almost like a midlife crisis. So she says she doesn't love him. She's never loved him. And she can't say anything badly about the guy. He's just an amazing, nice guy. So I must say, I had no hope for this relationship. I didn't think it's possible. I had week of counseling sessions, and she, her heart is turned away from God. She was far from the Lord. And we prayed, and then they kept coming to church every now and again. And she would start, you know, flirting with guys at the gym, and she was looking for an affair. And so the one service, I don't know if Sonika preached this, she came at the end of the service. She came forward, came to speak to Sonika, this lady, and she said that God touched her heart right there while she was sitting in the service. Now, this is after about 2+ years of we have no hope for this thing. It's just getting worse and worse. And then she came forward and she wept as the power of God touched her. And she never cries. She was very hard and very tough. And so God touched her. Sonika prayed with her, and right there, things turned around. So they actually, a while later, they redid their vows. We had a ceremony where they redid their vows, and they really fell in love again. And it's still going well, a few years later now. So all I'm trying to say is that even if you don't feel in love, know that one touch from God can turn your heart. Either way, if it's the husband or the wife, if you feel disillusioned in the relationship, if you feel this isn't what I've hoped for, dreamed for, I promise you, when the love of God starts touching your heart, it will be your dream marriage. It can be your dream marriage. But it starts with your heart turning. Okay. Amen. God is in the business of healing hearts. And that is the key. So you want to get to the heart. Okay, so a few ways of communicating love to your partner. The first one is openness. A wife wants her husband to be open to her. She wants open communication. She wants you to connect with her. She wants you to be close to her. So one of the things we often tell people, one of the practical ways, again, lifestyle change. I think I shared in church a while ago as well. But if you're like, you're driving from work, and what the one guy does, he's got a halfway mark on his way to home. And then as he goes, as he comes to that lamppost, that first half from work, he deals with work stuff. He gets it off his chest. He gives it to God. He gets it off his mind. And then when he hits 50% on the way home, then he starts focusing on home, start focusing on his wife, start focusing on his kids, start praying for them so that when he enters the house, he's present. He's there instead of being distracted and full of work stuff. It's because you need to be present, especially us guys. We can be in the house but not be present. Who can relate to that? I can relate to that. My head goes other places. And so we need to be present. You need to get work things and other things out of your mind and be present. So the television is also a challenge, because you can be very present with the TV but not very present with your family. It's like with me, when I have a screen in sight, anywhere in my frame of sight, my vision, I'm like, shh. So if we go to a coffee shop, it's like, I see a TV. And then we turn around and I go sit on the other side. I sit with my back to the TV. It's like, I can't focus. And I need to be present. When we have a coffee time, I must be present. Okay, guys, so let's say it, be present. Be present, okay? So you need to turn the TV off, focus, put the newspaper down, put the phone away, or the iPad, or the whatever. You can't, I just know with me, I can't do two things. Any other guys that also feel they can't do two things? Any wives that feel that their husbands can't do two things? Okay. We have agreement. So you actually need to work at that. I spoke about that a few weeks ago as well. But, you know, this is where I'm guilty sometimes with a phone. The WhatsApp's coming through and we're having dinner, you know. It's so hard not to take that phone. Put it away. And focus. Okay, so openness. It says expressive, responsive versus compartmentalized. Okay, so ladies are what they call expressive, responsive. It's like a woman has 3,000 lights in a circuit. If one blows, they're all out. It's game over. It's cheers, okay? For us guys, we have 3,000 lights. We can lose about 2,000, and there's still 1,000 going strong, because we're compartmentalized. You know, we know it's still okay. We're going on, okay? But so, like one lady said, if I'm battling with him in one area, I am at war with him in all areas. Okay, as one lady said, if I'm battling with him in one area, I'm at war with him in all areas. So if a serious marital conflict exists, it affects her whole being, because she's an integrated personality. It affects the whole being. Okay, so a man's circuit is different, and we need to understand that as well. So if there's something bugging the wife, then it affects the whole being. It's like driving in your car. Sure, you've all experienced this. Driving in the car, I'm in such a happy mode. Jolly, jolly boy. Alles is so lekker. And I pick up, what's wrong with you? No, nothing. No, man, something's wrong. I can feel it. No, nothing. Like, come on, just let's chat about it. Come, just say it. And she said, the one time she said, no, I can't say it. You're going to be upset. Like, no, I won't be upset. I am in such a good mood. Everything's wonderful. You can tell me. No, you're going to be upset. No, come on. Then she tells me. Then I'm super upset. Yeah. I can't believe you upset about this. You know, and then it's all good fun. And who's experienced that type of thing? Huh? Okay, come on. We are all human. We are all human. But guys, we need to keep the adventure alive. So we need to pursue our wives. There is so much to discover. We mustn't become complacent. It's like we have a pastor from Cape Town. He's like sort of always known as the marriage pastor. He was always onto marriage, Pastor William. And we did marriage preparation with him. And then he shared with us at the one time, he said, also about adventure, pursuing your wife. Then he says, it's like with his wife, he knows what is under that blouse. He knows what's there, but man, he wants to go find it again. He wants to go see again what's there. So my wife sometimes asks me, aren't you bored with me? I said, no, it's exciting every time. We are wired like that. We forget. We want to go adventure again. We're going to go realize again. What is da onder daai? What is da? Come on. So adventure is good. Colossians 3:19. It says, and this is more serious side. It says, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Okay, so this is something I think sometimes one can feel. I think it's also the challenge that Sonika spoke of being, yeah, being fun. You know, I think it's sometimes a challenge with, you know, some of the guys. We're all sort of kids, I guess, sometimes at heart. So when the boys are together, you know, you want to make jokes and you want to have some fun and you want to do some things, and then and you look at your wife and it's like, oh, something's wrong. You know, you know, so like. She's not happy, you know. It's like spoiling my fun again, you know. I just wanted to have a bit of fun, and now my wife's upset, and now I'm upset. And why can't we went through a phase a while ago? It's just that there was no joy. It was just we had so much pressure with church and things. There's just no joy. We weren't having fun, and it's frustrating. I think that's also for us as men sometimes. And you can like, oh, just want to have some fun, you know. Just want to. Why is everything so serious? Why is? I think it can go both ways. I don't know, but we need to have some fun. And I think also we need to help our wives, you know. It's one thing to, I think, at a stage where I sort of blamed Sonica, you know. It's like, we have this joke, you know. Before I could help myself, this would come forth from my mouth. I would just say something like, what about being thankful? Where's the thankfulness, you know? And then she's like, are you preaching at me again? And then other times, anyway, so... But I realize it's one thing to put the blame on your partner if they're not in good space. It's another thing to take responsibility and say, how can I help them? How can I pray with them? How can I make it easier for them? Sometimes the woman is under massive pressure with, you know, work and the kids. And kids can be a big challenge, you know. So we need to have grace for our spouse. Okay. So a few practical things. How? How can we be more open? And I'm on the first one of four. I'm taking too long. Anyway, first one is share your feelings. Tell her about your day and difficulties. This is guys. Make a point of sharing what's happening in your life. Okay, especially that first bit, coming home, the first bit, have that quality time together. Guys, you say, let's talk. Ask her what she's feeling. For some of us, that sounds dangerous. But ask her what she's feeling and ask her for her opinions. You know, I know some of us like engineers, you know, they say, how do you know when you're working with an extroverted engineer? He looks at your feet when he speaks to you instead of his own feet. I mean, I'm an engineer as well, so I'm joking with us. But sometimes it's hard for us guys to share, to communicate. So we actually need to practice it. Come home. Okay. Talk. Share what's going on. Get in touch with what's on the inside. What's happening here? Okay? And then share some of that. Okay. Let your face show you want to talk. Relaxed body language. Good eye contact. Pray with her. Give her your full attention. And obviously that weekly date night or thing, that time, FaceTime. Okay. So that's the first one. Open. Be open. Openness. Next one, understanding. Don't try to fix her. just listen. Okay, that's profound, but very helpful. Okay, guys, who likes to fix his wife or help her, give her advice how to shout, how things can change? Come on. Two hands, yes. That's like with me, how it works with me is it's like, I'm doing my things, go, 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 like, life's good, now like, okay, whoa, something's wrong. And if something's wrong, then I'm also not in good space. So I want to sort this out so I can move on. Okay, let's sort this out. And then it makes it worse and then we've got action. 1 Peter 3 verse 7, live with your wives in an understanding way, okay? So we need to understand how she's wired. The wife is porcelain, the husband is copper, okay? So the ladies are more sensitive and we are in general not as sensitive. Okay, so this is the key for this. To understand, just listen. Don't try to fix the problem. So you need to ask her, do you need a solution or a listening ear? Let that sink in. Do you need a solution or just a listening ear? If she says listening ear, klap uit, geniet het, luister. Awesome. Don't try and fix it. Don't try and solve it. Just listen. 95 to 98% of the time, when a man comes to another man, it is to, in terms of sharing his problem, he's looking for a solution. Not just, I'm looking for an answer, I'm looking for a solution. So that's how we are wired. Men want to exchange information, but a woman would come and say, that sometimes happens to us, Sonica comes to me and say, I'm sitting at a computer working, and then suddenly I see my wife sitting next to me. I'm like, okay, hello. And then I hear, let's talk. Okay, let's talk. Okay, talk. Then there's nothing to talk about. But she wants to talk. So I'm like, anyway, maybe it's just us. But about what? Let's talk. You know, she wants to talk, but now I must, but I'm actually distracted and busy. You know, but now I need to put that down. And now she wants to talk, but now I need to initiate. Anyway. That's how it goes. And then when you need to respond as well, you say, okay, I'm hearing you say this. Is this what am I hearing? So give feedback. Give feedback. Tell her, okay, I'm hearing this. Is this so? So I'm going to, you know, give feedback. That also helps well. Okay, so a few things. How do you do this? Just listen and repeat back what she said. Don't try to fix the problems unless you specifically ask for a solution. Try to identify her feelings, never dismiss her feelings, no matter how illogical they may seem to you. This is a very important one. Don't tell your partner, either one, but don't tell your wife that, no, you can't feel like that. Don't dismiss someone's feelings. If that is what she feels, that is her reality, and you need to respect that and honor that. Okay, remember, that's the very, very important. Otherwise, if you speak down on what she is feeling, then she will close off her heart and she won't open up to you anymore. So I've seen it with us as well. If I in any way come over too harsh, then she backs, then she doesn't have the liberty to speak to me. She wants to feel safe. Your wife wants to feel safe. She wants to feel I can say anything and it's going to be okay. And don't interrupt her when she's trying to tell you how she feels. Right, next one. Peacemaking. She wants you to say, I'm sorry. She wants you to say, now it's fascinating this. I've now, and it's just so foreign to our world. In our world, in Sonic and my world, she apologizes often. I never do. That's just how it works, you know. I'm kidding. She apologizes and I apologize. We often apologize to one another. That's just how it, that's just normal relationship. I'm shocked when I speak to people. I sometimes speak to husbands, some husbands I've spoken to, and then they just say their wife has never apologized about anything. Can't even see. But in some people's worlds, they just don't say they're sorry. And it's always the other one's fault. So when it comes to peacemaking, I so want to encourage you to make this a habit, to make this a lifestyle, especially if there was some form of conflict. Even if you are 95% right, because we always think we are right, don't we? Even if you're 95% right, I have found just to say sorry, it really brings reconciliation quickly. It solves the conflict. It causes hearts to connect again. You see, ladies in general are not that excited about incredible physique. That's not the ultimate. It's not like if you have these amazing... We guys sometimes think if we have these incredible muscles, then girls are going to think we're awesome. But maybe some of them. But they're actually more turned on by humility. That's what the book says. My wife agrees. Ladies, would you agree? You're more turned on by humility. A man that can say, I am sorry. A man who can take responsibility and say, I am sorry. Why often don't men say, I am sorry? Because they are afraid of losing respect. They are afraid of losing respect, but actually the opposite happens. When you say, I am sorry, you gain respect. You absolutely gain respect, and you bring healing to your partner's heart. Peacemaking. Peacemaking. So making peace, keep a gentle, loving demeanor, even in conflict. Confess your part of the blame, don't blame her. So there's a few things there, how to do this. Let her vent her frustrations and hurts. Don't get angry and close her off. Okay, so let her vent. Be mature. Allow the one who's hurting the most to get that out. You admit you are wrong and apologize by saying, I am sorry, will you forgive me? Forgive her for any wrongs she confesses. So forgive and then pray together after a hurtful time. Pray together. Allow God to knit together again. I wanted to show you a video clip, powerful video clip about a couple. And they also share that one of the keys was that when he came to her and said, I am sorry, and then she just started to, and they were a very bad space, basically on the verge of divorce. But just the power of saying, I'm sorry for what I said. I'm sorry for how I said it. Okay, let's practice. Let all of us together. Let's say, I am sorry. Please forgive me. Okay, you should record that on your phone. And just play it every now and again. I am sorry. Please forgive me. It really disarms a volatile situation. And when there's conflict, then we tend to start saying the wrong things and it escalates. Count to 20, pray, and apologize. Win one another's hearts again. Okay, then last one, loyalty. She needs to know you're committed. She needs to know you're committed. So when your wife asks you, do you love me? My wife asks me this every now and again. Do you love me? Am I still your favorite? I'm thinking, you're my favorite and you're my only. Okay, just a quick test here. Guys, do your wife ask you sometimes, do you love me? Anyone? Not? Come on, if you do, hand raised. I want to get a feel here. Okay. And it's like, I told you on our wedding day, come on. You know, it's like, yeah, I said it. I don't need to say it again. Go watch the video. No, but it's easy for us as guys to like be like, this is so weird. Because we don't relate to it, but actually she is looking for reassurance that your heart is still with her, that you are for her. Loyalty, she needs to know you're committed. And that's what a wedding ring, it's a sign of loyalty. Loyalty, meaning at all times, no matter what. For instance, with it's weird when Sonika gets sick, she becomes ill, then I would often back away a bit. I think in the past, I would respond. It's like, I don't want to get sick as well. So I'm like cold shoulder, like other side of the bed, like sort yourself out. And so we found out that in general, when she gets sick, it's not a very positive experience for her because she's actually wanting affection and love. And then I'm like off woman. So I had to let that go. I just say, okay, stuff, sickness, even if I get sick, whatever, let's just go for it, you know. But it's more important for me to show my wife that I love her and I will hold her and be affectionate and be there for her. And I found out I don't actually get sick very easily. So, double blessing. but those moments, I think for us, when our wife becomes sick, I don't know how you guys are wired, but the ladies in general are better nurturers than we are. So we can easily get frustrated and now we have to do all these other things and sort out the kids and do that and do this. And those times are actually an opportunity to love our wives, to really love her and show her affection. Okay. So come on, guys. Let's do it. Eh? Let's show our wives that we love them, that we're loyal to them. And so how can we do this? Just practically speaking, speak highly of her in front of others. Speak highly of your wife in front of others. That shows loyalty. You are involved in things important to her. So get involved with whatever she's doing. Don't look around lustfully at other women. That in general is good advice. That will freak her out. Make her and your marriage a priority. And something just practical again. It's just like, just call her and let her know where you are. You're running late. Something's happening. Just communicate. We found early in our marriage that means so much to Sonica. If I send a WhatsApp or SMS and just tell her I'm coming or I'm late or whatever. Just that ongoing communication. And then keep your commitments. Keep your commitments. Okay, so there's a few practical things. So to summarize, if you want to speak, spell love to your wife. If you want to communicate love to her in a way that motivates her to respect you, then you need to do a few things. Openness is the one. Be open to her, that face-to-face connection time. Also then understanding. Don't try to fix her. Just listen. Then peacemaking, she wants you to say, I'm sorry. And then loyalty, she needs to know you're committed. Okay, any questions or anything someone wants to add to this? Say again. Amen, brother. Blessed are the peacemakers. So, This is a journey. This isn't, we were at a pastor's thing a while ago, like I think 2 years ago, and I remember one person saying, you know, okay, guys, just like speaking to the men. Guys, we really need to focus on our marriages now. We need to sort these things out so we can move on. I'm listening, thinking, you don't sort this thing out and then move on. You sort this thing out and you keep on. You keep on. And you keep on. And you keep on. And you keep on. There's no such thing as, okay, we're in good space. Now I'll chat to you again 6 months from now. There's no such thing. A marriage is fragile. You drift. It's continuously investing in the relationship. And you must make it a lifestyle. It's not hard work. If you just do a few things. Okay, so we want to encourage you to, we're gonna go into our groups and we're going to chat through those. There's a few questions that we want you guys to chat through. But before we do that, I just want us to quickly pray. So please stand with me. We need help from God, all of us, so that our hearts remain soft. But we need to apply these principles. Don't play into the devil's court where he tricks us, where we actually do, we disrespect and we unloving and we climb onto that crazy cycle and it's chaos. Let's get onto the energizing cycle. Let's motivate one another. Okay, so I just want to pray for us. Father, we thank you. We bless you. Thank you, Lord, for every marriage, every relationship represented here. this morning. And so, God, we commit every heart into your hands. Lord, we ask that you would heal hearts. Lord, where there has been like a disillusionment, we pray, God, that you'd remove the disillusionment and bring hope, new, fresh, beautiful hope. And Lord, we pray for each one of us, every couple represented here, that we would make space for you, for God, in our midst. Lord, I pray that we would together pray to you, that we would invite you in, that we would make you a part of our marriages, of our relationships. God, we acknowledge we need you. And so, Lord, we ask for a new joy to come into our homes. Lord, that we would have fun together, that we would laugh together, that we would have an amazing time together, celebrating life and the goodness of God together. So, Lord, right now we renounce, we break every assignment of the enemy over any marriage, any relationship here. Right now, we renounce it. We cancel it. Lord, any thoughts or thinking about giving up, or this is not the right person for me, or anything like that, God, we renounce that in Jesus' name. And we ask, Lord God, that you'd come and inhabit our hearts, inhabit our thoughts, inhabit our emotions. God, may we be in love with one another more than ever before. More than ever before, God, may we just be so excited and experience an excitement together. A new adventure, a fresh adventure together. So, Lord, we pray for our communication, that we would speak one another's language. The men speak the language of love, and the ladies especially speak the language of respect. Help us, God. Teach us, every one of us. Holy Spirit, take us by the hand and train us and teach us how to speak that language. Lord, I pray that each one of us would truly win the heart of our spouse. May we win the other one's heart so that they don't have to try and love or try and respect, but it just come naturally. Just comes so naturally because we just so want to. So God, we thank you for this. And right now we release a blessing over every marriage represented here. And we say, God, let your kingdom come and let beautiful testimonies flow forth as we go home and apply these principles. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Maybe just one other thing just from before we discuss some. Ladies, I just want to encourage you. It's amazing when my wife respects me despite my sometimes not so great behavior. It really wins my heart. It wins my heart. My heart is then drawn to her. I can't help myself. I just want to love this woman because she has won my heart. And it goes both ways. We can win our partner's heart. So believe it and go for it. Keep going for it. Don't give up. Okay, thanks. Lord bless you.